is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can get a daily dose of great information about your favorite NBA and NFL team, including the Pacers. Right here. This episode is presented by SeatGeek and their fantastic SeatGeek app, which you can use along with promo code LOPACERS to earn $20 back after your first ticket purchase using the app. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com. Thanks for listening to the show today. I'm going to go through a recap of the weekend and look at some injury news, but most importantly, hail the Pacers for a hearty effort on the road and an overtime win over the Oklahoma City Thunder, which did not include Paul George or C.J. Miles. And we will get into the reason Paul George and C.J. were not available for the Pacers in OKC, along with Kevin Serafin. And also look ahead to the vicious schedule on the horizon, which begins on Monday night at the Fieldhouse with the Golden State Warriors coming to town. So please make sure you're checking in with me. I'd love to hear questions and comments. You can reach me on email at indycornrows@gmail.com and via Twitter at indycornrows. So let's start at the end of the weekend because it was so sweet. So the Pacers go to OKC after a miserable loss on Friday night to the Phoenix Suns, a game that Paul George didn't play because his sprained ankle flared up, and C.J. Miles only played a few minutes before he injured his knee and had to leave the game for good, and there was not much else after that that went well for the Pacers. They were dead. The Suns were young and vibrant, running, gunning, making threes. Pacers were not doing any of the above, and got dug a hole early and never were able to get out. So heading into a back-to-back at Oklahoma City and then home against the Warriors seemed pretty daunting and a situation where the Pacers could start sliding down a slippery slope if they weren't going to be able to stay healthy because they've been struggling to play well when they are healthy. And the Thunder with Russell Westbrook running and gunning just didn't seem like a good matchup at the time. And as word came out that both Miles, C.J. Miles and Paul George wouldn't be available for Oklahoma City, nor for Golden State on Monday, the black cloud just seemed to settle in right over the Pacers as the game started. So, fortunately, they've got a bunch of guys on the team that are getting paid big money to play basketball. They're pros. They have some pride. And they also have some guys get opportunity. Opportunity opens up, and you take advantage of it. Glenn Robinson III was a guy who did that, stepping into the starting lineup against the Thunder. He finished with 16 points, 11 rebounds, and played heavy minutes, played 45 minutes. He's going to now turn around and have to go to Kevin Durant on Monday after that big game. And he was winded at the end of the game, but he didn't shy away. He shot okay, made a couple threes. He had a shot for the game winner in regulation. It just bounced short, but he wasn't scared. Had some great transition moments. And really what set his game apart was his work on the glass, especially at the defensive end. Early in the game, the Thunder were hurting the Pacers on the offensive glass, and Robinson was among the players to step in and turn that thing around, and actually the Pacers ended up out-rebounding the Thunder, which is one of the many reasons they won the game. It was a frenetic game from the start. There were quite a few turnovers early, as it was. Both teams turned it over a ton. The Pacers scored 23 points off of 20 turnovers from the Thunder, and the Pacers had 22 turnovers of their own, only gave up 17 points. But when you get a guy like Russell Westbrook out there, you know, cranking things up, the ball gets going back and forth, and early in the game, that was going on a lot. In fact, Jeff Teague had 6 steals in the first half. Looked like he might go for a franchise record there at one point, but a lot of those came on turnovers from Westbrook just getting loose with the ball. So, but the game, you know, Pacers led the bulk of the game. It did go back and forth, though. The Pacers had a 17-4 run at one point. Thunder had a 16-3 run at another point. And it was just one of those games where it kind of felt like, especially in the first half, Westbrook ended the game with, you know, 31 points, 15 assists, 11 rebounds, another monster stat game. But really, the bulk of that came in the second half in overtime. And first half, it seemed like he was kind of cruising around in third gear. And you just kind of got a feeling that, oh boy, if he cranks it up, he could take this game over at any moment, because Pacers were unable to sustain the double-digit lead that they worked towards a couple times. So that was always lingering and seemed like a classic game from the past that we've seen, where the Pacers put forth a good effort when they're shorthanded, only to not have a closer, not have a way to finish off the game and end up losing. And it just felt like Westbrook was just going to come kick that thing into fifth gear and take over. And he did kind of try, but the Pacers were able to hold off. Big plays down the stretch. Jeff Teague was huge. He made all 9 of his free throws, including several in the final 2 minutes in overtime, which initially kept the Pacers, you know, with a lead, and then in overtime put it out of reach. So I know there's a lot of people out there who are thinking, I wonder if George Hill would have made those free throws. Because there were a lot of late-game free throw misses from G. Hill in the past couple of years that were frustrating in games exactly like this. And one thing that was frustrating last year was their late-game execution with Monte Ellis and George trying to get a shot. Monte had a few blunders down the stretch with turnovers and bad plays. He ended up the game with 8 turnovers. But he did do other things. Early in the game, you know, don't think he took his first shot till about 2 minutes left in the half, but he had 5 assists at that point. It was one of those types of games. But so he was definitely up and down. I mentioned Robinson, you know, coming up big and making hustle plays to go along with, you know, adding 16 points. Miles Turner early in the game did a great job attacking the rim, got to the line a lot, and then late in the game made 2 big free throws to give the Pacers a little cushion. Thad Young was fantastic early, really a good energy player, came up with a huge rebound in to keep the Pacers up 3 late in the game. His only blunder of the game really was missing 3 free throws in the final 3 minutes of regulation. I think if he would have made 1, 2, or obviously 3, Pacers would have kept that a 2 possession cushion and may have been able to hold him off. As it was, you know, Russ rose up with 4 seconds left and just drilled a laser 3-pointer to tie the game. So you got to give him credit for making those plays, but was unable to do it in OT. And that was just a great gutty win for the Pacers to go in there and get it done. So now the Pacers will try and back up that win with another win against the Golden State Warriors at the Fieldhouse on Monday. Wouldn't that be a fantastic double to pull off? And if you want to get to the game, you're going to have to check out SeatGeek. Use your SeatGeek app on your smartphone and find some tickets. Because, you know, the NBA season is back, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being at the game for the biggest plays of the year. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit. whether that's courtside, club level, or up in the upper deck. Now, you know, I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and let me pull it up here and show you how easy it is to check out tickets. All right, we got Pacers, Pacers Warriors, tickets available. It looks like you can get an upper deck for $60. Lower level nice seats going to be over $200 against the Warriors. That's a hot ticket, as always. And the Warriors, or the Pacers, are in town all week. So Wednesday they have the Hawks coming to town. Prices are far more reasonable for Atlanta if you want to go see the Pacers. You can get a good lower level ticket actually for $49 down in the lower bowl, and upper deck under $10 for seats upper deck against Atlanta. So that's how easy it is to check out and find the ticket you want to purchase for your budget to go see the Pacers at the Fieldhouse. And, you know, with SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending upon where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. And that's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see the underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. So look for the big green dot. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. And best of all, for my listeners, you can get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. So to do so, what you need to do is download the SeatGeek app on your smartphone and go to the Settings tab and click Add a promo code, and then enter promo code LO Pacers. That's all caps LO Pacers. And then SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LO Pacers today. So speaking of that schedule, it is getting gnarly. And with the Hawks coming up on Wednesday, always a tough game for the Pacers. And then the Mets should be the easiest of the homestand, but we saw what they did to the Pacers in Brooklyn. And then the LA Clippers, who are a team that didn't make a ton of changes and came back with a pretty solid mindset after dealing with some injuries last year and are basically giving it one more big run with this crew, with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, and they are playing really strong out of the gate. Kind of reminds me of the Pacers 3 years ago when they got off that strong start. So we'll see if they can keep it together and hopefully don't consider trading for Andrew Bynum late in the season. That might derail things. But anyways, the schedule is going to get tough. In fact, if you look at the first 13 games of the season, the Pacers had one of the easier schedules in the league. The winning percentage of those teams was 45%. And now, the next 8 games, the winning percentage is just over 70% for their opponents. So, it's something we've been talking about even before the season started, that this stretch was coming. And that's why it was tough to see some of those losses during those first 9 games of the year, really, where the schedule was really easy. They gave up a couple. So now it's time to try and find some big wins and get those back. Now, they did that on Sunday night in Oklahoma City, for sure, getting that win over OKC. And it doesn't help that health is an issue. So we're dealing with Paul George ankle. One, he turned it, but was able to play against Cleveland, although LeBron was out. So Pacers were able to win that game. But then on Friday, when the Suns came to town, just before the game, it was announced he was going to sit it out because it was bothering him, came up sore. He spoke about it. But it's something that they basically want to get right, don't want it to be a lingering issue right now. And as PG mentioned, this season is a marathon. They're still in the early stages. They don't want to jeopardize a bigger chunk of the regular season by just trying to get out for some of these tougher games right here. So PG has already been ruled out for Monday, and I guess from there it'll be game to game, and depend upon how that ankle heals up. He also, in talking about not wanting to rush back, sounded like he wasn't concerned that it would be a long-term issue, and that it was just a matter of getting it right and getting rid of the pain. So the other issue with CJ Miles is a little more cloudy with his knee. Scary scene on Friday when he went down in a heap clutching his knee early in the first quarter against the Suns. He was unable to return and had an MRI over the weekend. Haven't heard any results of that yet, so we'll be looking forward to some updates, assuming they will have some results to report on in some fashion tomorrow at the Fieldhouse, since they're back in action against the Warriors. And another guy who sat out tonight was Kevin Serafin, who had just kind of worked his way into the mix off the bench with a couple of good outings, but he's had some injury issues, trouble staying on the court past years, and must have had some flare-up with the knee. I would imagine it was nothing major, but obviously we'll keep an eye on that. He provides some nice versatility to their front court depth with his ability to defend and rebound. So it would be nice to have him available, and against the Warriors, any and all players they can have available will be needed. So one thing the Dubs did, they were in town. They're on a road trip currently and had the day off in Indy. So I know there's a pictures of Kevin Durant and Draymond Green at the Colts game on Sunday. And, you know, the Colts had all of the Super Bowl champion team in for that game. And there's a picture of Draymond and KD with Peyton Manning. And then the biggest, coolest thing we saw on Sunday, and this is even more cool than the Pacers' road win at OKC, there's a local kid, Brody Stevens, who's really been battling cancer and going through some really rough treatments. And this is a kid who was kind of known as a little basketball phenom before he got sick, and still loves the game, and a lot of local athletes have kind of gravitated toward him. George or Glenn Robinson III had had Brody autograph Robinson's shoes for a game, and always visits him and takes care of him. There's Jack Doyle from the Colts is a good friend of his as well, but he's a big Steph Curry fan, and Curry was able to sneak by and surprise him with a visit on Sunday, and that was very cool. There's a story in the Indy Star that IndyStar.com that kind of captures the video his dad put on Instagram. So, well, it's fun to kind of gin up a little hate for Steph and the Warriors when they're got things rolling and driving you nuts. It's going to be hard to muster up any issues with him tomorrow night, at least because of that classy move going over to see Brody. So, other than that, honestly, going into the Warriors game kind of feels like it did going into the OKC game, where it's like, where do you begin to try and figure out how they may have a chance in this game, right? One thing the Pacers did against OKC, which they haven't been doing, is they've made a lot of three-pointers. They made 11 or 22 threes, and, you know, they won the rebounding battle. You know, it's that those, you know, turnovers, rebounds, fouls, all those different stats that come into mind. Those three things, the rebounding, turnovers, and fouls, got to be in the Pacers' favor when they're not shooting well. Well, against OKC, they were shooting the three and got more than their fair share of threes compared to the Thunder. And then they also, you know, made more free throws than the Thunder shot, make 24-31. Thunder were only 13 of 18, so those were areas where they found an advantage against OKC. Not going to be so easy against the Warriors, obviously. I mean, if the Warriors only double their three-point numbers, that might be a start with the way they did it up and down. So might be interesting to see if, speaking of LeBron missing the Cavs game on Tuesday, if any of their key players take a rest, knowing that the Pacers are shorthanded and coming off an overtime game on the road. But again, you know, Curry missed, took a rest game, was it 2 years ago, I believe, at the field house. And it's one thing when LeBron does it, when he plays, you know, multiple games at the field house. But on that one visit to town for the Warriors, who are such a big draw, any of those guys missing a game, unless they're, you know, injured, obviously, would be a letdown again. And the whole DNP rest thing is just a nightmare for fans coming to the field house, as we talked about when LeBron took one the other day. So hopefully we'll get a full 48 competitive good game. The Pacers have a chance to win at the end. Then you never know what might happen. And mentioned that Glenn Robinson, the third, you know, after playing 45 minutes in his first real big action starting for the Pacers, is going to now have to guard Kevin Durant. And like I said, opportunity knocks. You know, you can rise up and take advantage. And he looked in that OKC game like he should be in the mix at that wing rotation. So it'll be interesting to see how he responds and if he can start developing that consistency that they like to see from him. His confidence has to be growing now after playing such a strong game. So, again, thanks for listening. Feel free to reach out with any questions or comments at IndyCornrows@gmail.com and on Twitter at IndyCornrows. And you can find us on audioboom.com or subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and you can find all the past episodes. So check them out. Again, thanks to SeatGeek and SeatGeek app for presenting the episode today. Don't forget, enter promo code LOPACERS and get $20 off your first purchase. All right, that's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You got it.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa auto parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.